products from a great variety of industries, which means that his uniform for work is quite varied. On any given day, Jeff's uniform might include a suit and tie, a golf shirt and shorts, a shirt with a logo of one of his manufacturers and a pair of jeans. He might wear comfy pants and an athletic shirt, a snowmobile suit and helmet. So Jeff has all these different things, and he has lots of clothes for many different occasions. And sometimes I get to attend the more celebratory functions for his work, and I make sure that I dress accordingly. So years ago, when Jeff invited me to a theme party hosted by a distribution company, I began to brainstorm. The theme of the event was an island, and it was taking place at a hotel in the Twin Cities in January. And I thought, how great will it be to put on my beach gear and get to meet so many of these colleagues that Jeff has talked about over the years. And so I got ready, and I checked myself into the hotel and prepared for the day. The plan was that I would meet Jeff at the pre-dinner gathering, which is called happy hour in the business world and called coffee hour here at Bloomington Covenant Church. Jeff would be going there right from a meeting, so when I was ready, I stepped onto the elevator in a bright pink muumuu, my sandals, a huge sun hat, and these fab sunglasses that I had found. So when I got on the elevator, I hadn't really thought about what it would be like if I encountered anyone from the hotel that wasn't going to the event, and thankfully I had it to myself. And so all of a sudden the elevator went ding and it stopped at the floor and the doors opened into the ballroom right into the party. And it took me about 2 seconds to realize that I was the only one that thought that the theme of the party extended to what we should wear. There I was with my hat and my glasses and my fuchsia sleeveless dress, and everyone else was wearing sweaters and pants, because that's what you wear in Minnesota in January. Clothes matter. Have you ever had an experience like that? Or a bad dream like that about what you were wearing or about what you weren't wearing? Do you ever notice how much time we spend thinking about what to wear? If you're sending kids to school, you think about what they wear. If there's a dress code, if there's a uniform, they want to wear something that's cool. Some of them only want to wear things that are comfortable. We have clothes that we wear to work. We have clothes that we wear to church. We, as Minnesotans, have clothes for the seasons. Someone said to me this morning, I just wasn't ready to put on a jacket yet. We're holding off as long as we can. We have clothes that identify us or say something about us. So maybe you have clothing that represents a team that you like or you cheer for. Maybe you have clothing from your alma mater or the school that you represent. I have seen several couples here who are definitely Gopher fans. And they will show up on a Sunday morning and I know what team they are rooting for. Maybe you have something that says something about a place that you have visited. Or perhaps you think about, have you ever had an argument with someone that you know, maybe someone that lives in your home or lived in your home, about need versus want? So maybe you've said these things to people in your home. Do you actually need another sweatshirt? There's no room for the sweatshirts in your room. They're all over your floor. Do you need another t-shirt or a baseball hat or another pair of jeans or another pair of shoes? Is anyone nodding? You've had these conversations. We kind of take our clothes for granted. So here's what I want to do. In your head right now, I want you to do a quick inventory. How many shirts, sweaters, or things that you could wear on top do you think you have? Just think in your head. Start counting. And they might be in a closet. They might be in a drawer. They might be in the storage room. They might be on the floor. Anybody live with teenagers and their clothing just lives there on the floor? I'm not saying I do, but yes, I do. How many of you have more than 5 shirts? 10 shirts? 15 shirts? And we're not going to go beyond, but I know some of us do. Clothes matter, and clothes matter even in the Bible. Clothing is used as a metaphor all throughout Scripture. We sang today about God being wrapped in light or clothed in majesty. The Old Testament writers talked about being clothed with salvation, or clothed with joy, or clothed with gladness, or clothed with forgiveness. In the New Testament, Jesus promises disciples that they will be clothed with power from on high. In Galatians Galatians it says we are clothed with Christ in baptism. In 2 Corinthians says it looks forward to some day, and it says I'm longing to be clothed with a heavenly dwelling. In Colossians it says that what we should wear as followers of Christ is we should wear the clothing of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So there's a lot of metaphorical getting dressed in the Bible, but there are literal things about clothes also in the Bible. So all the way back to Genesis, the first human beings were created and they were naked. They had no shame and nothing to hide, and the elements must have been in their favor. But when sin enters the world, they discover their nakedness and they try to cover themselves up. God sees this and cares for them and makes clothes for them out of animal skins so that they would be protected. Clothes matter. And then there's Jesus. So here we are in week 3 of this series called Call to Care, and it's really supposed to be 4 weeks based on Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus calls us to care for the least of these. So listen to these words from this very familiar passage and hear what Jesus says about clothes. He says this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." If you want to move now, you're welcome to find a different seat. You know, if Jesus is facing this way, then that makes... This is the left. That makes y'all the goats. Okay, either way, you kind of get the picture. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' But then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' And they will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and not help you?' And he will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." In this passage, Jesus speaks metaphorically. He talks about sheep and goats. It's not literal. He's talking about people, his followers. The sheep and the goats are those who follow Jesus' teachings and those who don't. But we already know that. We've heard this one, and we've repeated some of these words in our call to worship now for the past 3 weeks. Some of what Jesus says is a metaphor, but most of what he says is not figurative at all. Jesus isn't just painting a picture, hoping that the listener will kind of get some kind of vague idea or hidden meaning. Jesus is quite literal in his commands. He's serious when he says, take care of others, and he's quite specific. Feed people who are hungry. Get water for people who are thirsty. Make room for strangers. Look after the sick. Visit people in prison and provide clothing for those who need it. He literally means it. If there are people who need clothes, says Jesus, I want you to provide for them. In the NIV, he says, I needed clothes and you clothed me. In that Message paraphrase, he says, I was shivering and you gave me clothes. And back to the good old King James, he says, naked and ye clothed me. Clothes matter. And as people who have any number of items of clothing at home, we might wonder, what does that even mean? What does it look like to need clothes? Who needs clothes? I mean, I have so many. I stood in my closet today trying to decide what to wear. Who needs clothes? Well, here are who needs clothes. People that might have clothes, but not appropriate ones for the season. Minnesotans, winter is coming. And we can already feel it. And winter gear is expensive. And children keep on growing. Over and over and over again. And there's so many families that can't afford to buy new jackets and boots and snow pants every year. There are kids in Minnesota who will be cold without winter stuff. There are people who need clothes because they are refugees that have arrived from fleeing their country, and they left with only with what they could wear or carry when they came here to Minnesota. A person who's getting out of prison for many decades will not have clothing waiting for them. In some places in the world, a lack of clothing has way longer effects. In some places, children can't go to school because their families can't afford to buy uniforms for them, and uniforms are required. And so they never get to school, and that means that it limits their job opportunities, and the cycle of poverty keeps on going. People who have no homes are in desperate need of clothes, because if you don't have a home, it means you don't have a closet or a dresser or a wardrobe to put your clothes in. You probably only own what you're wearing at the time. And Jesus says, clothe them. You provide. And once you know who they are, it's actually not that difficult. Two stories. In the summer of 2020, there were large crowds of protesters who began to march down Chicago Avenue, starting from the site of George Floyd's death. 10 blocks into the march, they entered the neighborhood where a young woman who was a freshman at Washburn High School had walked a block from her house to wave to the people as they walked by and to show her support. As this girl watched people walk past, she saw a woman who was barefoot. This woman had not planned on joining the protest, but suddenly it was there, and she stepped in, and she had been wearing high heels that began to hurt quickly, and so she was carrying them and walking barefoot down Chicago Avenue. So here was this teenage girl standing there in her Crocs and just an alleyway away from home, and she was overcome by the sight of these bare feet on hot tar. So she took off her shoes, ran over, and offered them to this woman who gratefully accepted them and kept on marching. This girl at 15 saw a need. I needed clothes, and she said, someone needed shoes, and she said, here's my shoes. Sometimes it's that simple, right in front of your face. And she went home, and there were lots more shoes waiting for her. Sometimes it's a little more difficult. Sometimes it takes more of a sacrifice. So take Mother Teresa of Calcutta, for instance. Teresa and her Sisters of Charity dedicated their lives to serving the least of these in India. And their ministry relied solely on donations from other people, even down to the clothes that they themselves wore. Periodically, the nuns would receive donations of shoes, and they would each get to choose one pair of shoes that they could have. And as they tell the story, they said Mother Teresa would search the pile of the shoes and choose the worst pair that was donated. Even if they didn't fit, she chose those for herself so that everybody else could have a better pair of shoes. And the sacrifice was her feet became deformed over time because her shoes never fit her quite right. But she didn't complain, and she would have never told anyone that story herself. She heard Jesus call to care for others, and she put them first, all the way down to the shoes for their feet. In the story that Jesus tells, there, he's saying to the people that are standing before him, I needed clothes and you clothed me. And to others, he says, I needed clothes and you didn't clothe me. And the people in front of him don't even know what he means. And he literally meant that they should make sure that everyone has what they need. And he meant every person that you meet is there and beloved by Jesus. When you look in their face, imagine it's the face of Jesus. And so when they need clothes, it's Jesus needing these clothes. James reiterates what Jesus says, and Sharon read that for us early. He says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can their faith save them? Suppose someone comes without clothes and daily food. What if you say to them, go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed, but does nothing for their physical needs? What good is it? James gives this compelling reminder that what we believe has to be seen in what we do. What we say is as important as how we say it. So also today. We heed this call from Jesus to give clothes to those who need them. Rather than speaking in the abstract, this is about as concrete as it gets. And you had to see this coming today, right? You have to know that I'm not going to send you somewhere else today to fulfill this command. Anybody have one of these at home? So maybe when you heard about the Closet of Hope today, it was old news to you. Maybe it was new to you that you hadn't heard this yet. Maybe you actually get tired of hearing about it. Maybe you get tired of seeing all those clothing racks line the hallway on that side of the building. But for me, the first time I walked in the door, the Closet of Hope has been a source of delight. I have watched in wonder at what happens here almost every day of the week. It's not just one Saturday a month. It's Wednesday night, and it's day after day where people are cared for. For me, it's been a source of delight. For the people of Bloomington and Richfield and beyond, it is a source of dignity and joy and warmth and protection and practical necessities. You can walk in the door and walk out with something that you need, that your child needs. And for the volunteers that come each month, we heard a little bit, it is a source of purpose and meaning and a way to follow Jesus' call to care in such a practical way. They put on these shirts to identify themselves as helpers, but we know what they really wear? They wear compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience and humility. For me, it's a source of delight. For people who need clothes, it's a gift. For those who volunteer, it's a source of purpose and meaning. And for you, Bloomington Covenant Church, this is your unique way of meeting needs in the community. I've said this a million times. People say, what's Bloomington Covenant like? And I say, they have this closet of clothing. This is their unique footprint in this area. This is how you are identified. People know you're here because of that, not because of our great preaching, I'm sorry to say. And it's not just one Saturday of month. During the week, people come. There are refugees who have just arrived in Minnesota. And even just one refugee agency, Arrive Ministries, will have 500 refugees come next year, needing clothes and everything else. But they come here to receive those social workers and caseworkers from schools come in and say, I need a jacket for this family. Their kid doesn't have a jacket. We need extra pants because sometimes kids wet their pants at school. And they need something clean and dry to go home in. Parents come and choose clothes for children of all ages, and children come and get to pick something to wear. Yesterday, I got to watch these little girls as they got to choose a jacket to put on. And this one girl chose this really pretty kind of bluish-colored jacket. It was one of those that's the double kind that has an inside jacket and an outside jacket. And she looked at that thing and turned around and wrapped her arms around Dawn and said, thank you. Thank you. 11 years ago, you opened your doors. And they're still open. So much has changed and so much has been learned, and you keep on doing this thing and you do it well. And you know what? It doesn't even affect the budget. It's not even a budgeted item here at Bloomington Covenant Church. It is funded directly and only by donations and a few grants. And it matters. It really matters. This family came in yesterday at the end, and this is a mom with a bunch of girls and then one son, and he told Don, this is all we have. This is it. If we don't come here today, we don't have anything else to wear. It matters. So sometimes following Jesus' call to care for people is difficult. Sometimes it takes thinking and planning. Sometimes it means finding ministries to join and people to work with. But this is about as easy as it gets. It's right here. It's right here in our hallways. It's right here in our faith. And people are even coming here to get help. And Don told you some of the ways that you can volunteer and be a part. And I hope that you'll feel compelled to be part of that. Raise your hand if you've ever had anything to do with Closet Hope. You've come to volunteer. You've dropped off a shirt. You've dropped off a pair of pants. You've prayed. You've donated money. All those things. The goal is to have this be 100%er for us as a church. So today, if you've never even seen it, maybe you're visiting or you've only been here, walk down that hall and look. There are departments. It's like going to Macy's. Only there's more people to help you here. Ooh, maybe I'm not supposed to say that. There are places to go, and you can see all the things they give them. As you walk down the hall, pray over those clothes because someone's going to get them. Someone's going to wear them. Someone needs them. And pray for them that they would receive those clothes and they'd receive and come to know Jesus too. Pray for the people who wear the clothes. Pray for the volunteers who sort and display and welcome and clean and care. Come and volunteer on a Saturday or pretty much any day of the week. Something can be found for you to do. If you speak another language or you'd like to learn one, we'd certainly need more Spanish speakers, but if anyone would like to learn Arabic or Ukrainian or Russian or Vietnamese or any other language that walks in the door, that would be really helpful too. Donate your clothes. Clean ones. Go buy new ones and donate those. Or donate finance to help keep this closet open. This is really cool. And as we look together the future of this church, I think it's intertwined with who you are as a people. You've already heard Jesus call to care for your community. So let's make sure we keep doing that, because clothes matter. Jesus said so. He said that when his followers share clothes with people who need them, they're not interacting with strangers, but rather encountering Jesus himself. I needed clothes, Jesus said, and you clothed me. I wrote this yesterday. It's kind of corny. Now it makes me weepy. But Jesus, say this, Jesus was here yesterday shopping at the Closet of Hope, and he'll be back. And you have an opportunity to be a part of getting him what he needs at every size and age and shape that will walk through those doors. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us into the ways that you are caring for people in the world. And there are so many things that we could be a part of, Lord. It's overwhelming to think about the needs in the world. So thank you for one Sunday to think about clothing. And thank you for the very practical means that we have to clothe you, Jesus, in the form of your people, of children and adults and teenagers and elderly persons, all who need something warm or something to cover their feet or something to make them feel proud enough to go to work or to school or to interact with others. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of giving you clothes, of showing you love and showing love to the people that you love. In your name we pray.